Hey, welcome back to Farm Talk at the National Farm Machinery Show, broadcasting from the Degelman booth, the Degelman facility down here, where they've got a dozer blade and a ProTill, and they just got a great setup here, people to walk by. And they're kicking the tires, and that's what happens at the National Farm Machinery Show. An expansive, I can't remember, let's ask Caleb Ragland of the Kentucky Soybean Association. And how many acres are under a roof here?
Don't quote me, but I believe there's over 100.
Yeah, that's a lot. And I've walked all of it about half a dozen times here.
I know my feet are feeling it.
Your calves are barking.
Huh? That's right. That's right. But it is quite a spectacle.
Yeah. 300,000 people here, and they're all just kind of filing by steady. And I'm amazed at how every minute of every day from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., it's just elbow-to-elbow people here.
It is. Yeah. And you have all the best and brightest in the agriculture industry. I mean, there's a long waiting list for folks to get in here. So it's for anybody that's wanting to showcase a product that's not here, get on the list, and hopefully one day you can, because you're putting yourself in front of the largest indoor farm show in the United States.
Yeah. You have a slogan at the Kentucky Soybean Board, soybeans and livestock, we're in it together. So the economy of each is kind of mutually not exclusive. You're married at the hip, kind of.
That's right. I mean, it's a relationship that is vitally important for both industries. Livestock have got to eat, and as soybean farmers, we have to have a customer for our product. We produce a lot of meal, and that is great for our livestock. And everything we can do to support and promote each other's industries and help all of us succeed together is better for agriculture in general. And that's the message. There's not many farmers who just raise soybeans or who just raise cows or just milk or whatever. We're all some combination of a diversified business. And so we have lots of interest, and we're trying to promote all of them and keep agriculture moving forward.
In the row crop department here, or in the cropping department of Kentucky, is it kind of drifted towards corn and beans a lot lately?
It has. There's been a gradual switch in the last 30 or 40 years, and particularly I believe it was in 1954 down in Todd and Christian County, kind of in southwest Kentucky. No-till farming was invented. There's a historical marker there documenting that. There's been many folks who experimented and learned how we could keep our gently rolling terrain in place and not let it wash away as we would with tillage. I understand in some parts of the country that tillage is needed in order to produce a crop for many different reasons, but here in Kentucky we have a lot of gently rolling to pretty aggressively rolling ground that is now successfully row cropped. Corn, soybeans, winter wheat is big here in the state as well. And without no-till production, it would be impossible. We wouldn't be able to be good stewards of the land.
Sure. How about on the Ragland farm? What kind of minimum till or what kind of tillage operation do you have
there? Well, the disc that I own is a good bit older than me and hasn't been used in a few years. About all it'd be for maybe sowing a grass waterway or something like that. We are very religious no-tillers. We use Martin row cleaners on our planters to clear stubble away so we can do a good job with seed placement, but that's about the extent of our tillage. We do have hogs as well. We have 4,000 sows farrow to wean on our farm.
Yeah, that's kind of where we left off on Wednesday with our discussion. That's a big operation, 4,000 mama sows.
It is. We're in Kentucky is not huge in swine production, but there's just under 50,000 sows in the state. Mm-hmm. We're in a position where a lot of folks are raising isoween pigs, and the pigs will end up a little closer to some of the slaughter plants and so forth as they're raised up. But we can have some real good biosecurity here since hogs aren't quite as densely populated.
Uh-huh.
And that's been good for our farm. We're able to have some diversification from that. And we're also able to use the manure to grow corn, feed the corn back to the pigs. And, you know, the process yeah. keeps moving.
Do you have a certain breed, or do you have a genetic line mm-hmm. that you're using?
On our farm, we have purebred Yorkshire.
Okay.
And we sell replacement gilts, so we cross that to a purebred Landrace and get the F1 cross.
All right.
That is sold to our customers, and they'll breed the Duroc and end up with the top-line terminal pig that the customer wants. So.
Oh, is your litter size remaining stable, or are your litter sizes increasing?
Well, it, just like we see with a lot of grain production, it's amazing the genetic improvements that have been made in the last 50 years, but, I mean, in particular, the last 10 to 20. I mean, litter size is well over 13 born alive now and uh-huh. able to wean 12 or better, and, I mean, it's just amazing watching the continuous genetic improvement that we're seeing.
Sure. Now, back to feeding your pigs soy meal. There's only one crush facility in the state of Kentucky.
That's right. That's right. In Owensboro, in the western part of the state, on the Ohio River.
Uh-huh.
That's a real good market for Kentucky soybeans. And we have the number one livestock commodity in Kentucky, and the number one in ag receipts is poultry.
Okay.
So we have lots of good poultry customers who are buying meal. Not a whole lot of pigs. There's also some cattle. Kentucky has the most mama cows east of the Mississippi River. So mm-hmm. Livestock is still an important part of our agriculture mix, but through like I was referring to earlier, no-till production, acres have continued to increase of row crops, and so we just have a good mix. Kentucky's got a lot of diversity, both in geography and in our agriculture.
Yeah. In a few weeks, the Kentucky Soybean Association is going to pound the pavement in the Beltway, going to Washington, D.C. And in North Dakota, South Dakota, we have one congressman. How many congressional delegation? What's the size of the congressional delegation for Kentucky?
Here in Kentucky, we have six U.S. representatives.
All right.
And, of course, two senators like everybody else.
When you go to the Congress, are you preaching to the choir, or is there? Do you have any urban folks who just don't quite get it?
Well, again, like I was talking about, we have a lot of diversity in that area.
Okay. I'm reading between the lines there.
We have a very close relationship with five of our six folks who are yeah. big proponents of agriculture. We have one even who would classify himself as a farmer. Representative Jamie Comer from the 1st District, he is a farmer.
All right.
He was our agriculture commissioner here in Kentucky before he was elected to Congress. So Brett Guthrie, who's my congressman in the 2nd District, he's a businessman, but he has a very close tie to agriculture as well. And you go on to our others as well. They understand the importance. We really only have one representative, you would say, is just the urban mm-hmm. guy, and his office does visit with us, so
yeah.
and we're appreciative of that opportunity. I think that our delegation as a whole understands the importance of agriculture to the economy of the state of Kentucky. Be a great void without it.
Yeah, and Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, he is pretty high profile.
He is. Yeah. I forget his rating, but I think he's one of the most, in the most 25 influential people in the world, they say.
Uh-huh.
Mitch started in politics. He was county judge here in Jefferson County, here where the county that Louisville sits in, where we're at for the farm show. And he went from that to the U.S. Senate, and he has served us for a long time, a little longer than I've been alive, in fact. And love him or hate him, he has been good for the state of Kentucky, and he has been good for agriculture. Here as our leader in the Senate, we got the farm bill done on time this time, and with the leadership from our president, that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Senator McConnell has done a lot for the tobacco industry. We haven't talked about that much, but there was a time where tobacco was a big part of the heartbeat of Kentucky agriculture. It's declined in recent years, but when the tobacco settlement happened, there was a lot of leadership from Senator McConnell to get that point in a good direction. We had some money that got set aside here in the state that has been earmarked for agriculture, and it has been used. They have a program where farmers can come and borrow $250,000 at low interest. It's helped a lot of young folks in particular.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Caleb Ragland of the Kentucky Soybean Growers Association, I wish we weren't out of time.
I hate it too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mick.
You bet. Great to visit with you. Thanks for the work you do on behalf of all soybean growers.
Thank you.
You bet.